couple things before we begin tonight. Number one, Bibles on the truth of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, finish up my chapter 9, and if you look a little ahead in the book of Ecclesiastes, we are very close getting to the end of that book, and really the last three chapters are kind of tied together to deal with the difficulties of life. We'll get to those, I hope, in the next few weeks and finish that book. Tonight we want to look at remember what we were talking about this morning. We're talking about the judgment of all men, enjoying life, and the value of wisdom. We're going to really exemplify tonight the value of wisdom. So we want to begin tonight by looking at verse number 11. That's what we talked about this morning. And verse 11, that's what we will begin. It says, "And I returned and saw unto the song that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Bread to the wise, nor riches of men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. The man is also does not know his time, like a fish taken in a cool net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. Wisdom I have also seen under the sun. It seemed, and it seemed great. It was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it to siege it, and built great snares around it. There was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shouts of the lowly fool. Wisdom is better than a weapon of war. One sinner destroys much good. Many of the things that are written in the book of Ecclesiastes can be very similar to the Proverbs that we read that were written by the same man. And again, when he is talking about wisdom, he's using contrast about the wisdom of man, contrast with the wisdom of God. He begins this section of the Bible, the last section of this thing, talking about accomplishments of life. Race is not to swift. What does that mean, the race is not to swift? The fastest person isn't always going to win the race. The best team doesn't always win the tournament. We hope that's all wrong this year, but that sometimes doesn't happen that way. Okay, so just being in a race and being the fastest doesn't guarantee you to win, nor the battle for the strong. There are people who are strong and have great strength and have great ability, but I don't, if everything doesn't go the way that I planned, if I have a few more bumps than I wanted, if I have a few more giving companies I have to deal with, if I have a few more problems that I have to deal with in my life, if that would be my lot, so be it. As long as I make the right decision that any eternity, I will be at rest, in peace, and happiness that I could never have on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, what God has promised us in heaven cannot be obtained. God never intended for the happiness and the peace and the joy that we have been promised in heaven to ever be equal to the one. It surpasses every joy and every happiness that you've ever had in this life. What you we have promised in heaven is greater than it's better. And that's where we always need to keep our focus. Do not allow shortcomings. Plans don't go as you wanted them to. Things don't work out the way you thought they would. Things are a little bit more difficult than you like. Ask God for help. Ask God for patience. Ask God to help you endure it. Never lose sight of hope of what's really important. There were a number of years ago, there was a movie made by but he made a movie and it was called City Slickers. One of the comments in that movie by Jack Fallon, but he was never done. He was the old cowboy. What I do remember, he was trying to tell the young man, you have one thing in your life. You got to find what that one thing is that's most important in your life. You never have to lose focus. Now, in the movie, he's talking about physics. But in the spiritual realm, that's a good thing. You need to keep one thing in focus. In your entire life here, there's one thing that you should never lose sight of. And that's heaven. Don't ever lose sight of what that means in life. What we are striving for, what we are trying to do in order to put ourselves in position to obtain guaranteed. You know, this is a thing. We do the best we can. We follow God's law, and we love Him. And we do the best we possibly can. God's grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, we will win at the end of this life. God wants us to win. Understand that. God sent His Son to die for you, and for me, and for the world, that we might win this thing called life. He wants us to win, and He's going to do everything in His power to help us be able to obtain that promise. But, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's going to do everything in his power to make sure that you never obtain it. That's his aim. That's his purpose. And that's his goal. And you know what the Bible emphasizes most about the devil? It's about his purpose and his aim. What he's trying to do, how we defeat him, how we beat him at his own game. That's what's important. We can win if we keep focused. If we remember what's really important. Life is unpredictable. Man does not know his time. You know, he uses two illustrations, the fish and the net. Buddy and other people, and, you know, a fish. You know, I don't think he wakes up in the morning time. I think today is the day I'll just keep going. I don't think he has one thing in his mind to think about. And when the fish gets in the net, he's probably not going to get out. Now, I got a fish in my office that I caught in Canada, and he tried to get out of the net. He put a hole in the net. He almost did get out. But normally, when a fish gets in the net, that's it. He's not getting out. A bird that falls in the snare, that takes his life. It can happen at any time. It happens. It's circumstances. Seasons of life have three qualities. Number one, they're unpredictable. Man does not know his time. Number two, it's inexplicable. What will happen will happen. And number three, it's abrupt. It can happen suddenly. You know, it can happen when things are going real well. It can happen when everything is going the way you just happen to bad people. It also often happens to good people. A couple years ago, a friend of mine in Ohio, we were very close, we were both preachers. He was a dear, dear friend of mine. We spent a lot of time together. As a matter of fact, he got me introduced to Overseas. So if it never would have been for him, I never would have begun to go overseas. Because of him, I got into working overseas. He really helped me. He was a mentor. We talked about a lot of things. He was another preacher. We depended on each other. Even when I moved here, we talked on the phone, email. I had a Bible study one Friday night. Came home, left my phone in the car, and bring it in the house. And the next morning I get up and after I do my Bible reading, I look on Facebook to see if there's any pictures of my grandchildren and see if there's anything my kid wants. And I stop and I see this post. And it's from this brother who was a member of the church. Jesus Street where I preach, and he's the son of my friend, and he says, Kevin, just got one warning. May my father rest in peace. What? I gotta be reading that. That can't be. I just didn't rest. I just talked to him during the house. I just can't do it. So I run out to the car, get my phone, turn it on, and there's 7-8 messages. And I looked at the numbers, and one of them was from his brother. And I tell you, I didn't expect it. His family didn't expect it. Took a shower. As he does, he was on food. And it made him cold. He always took a hot bath at night in order to warm up his body. And he did this every night that I know for sure. And he took a shower this night, got in a chair and sat down, cooled off, anything else. I've seen people make decisions and choices in their life, and I saw what it did to their lives. I saw the misery, the pain, the anguish that it caused. And you know what? I'm in the middle of all of that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I know that's a bad decision. I've watched people drink themselves to death. I've watched people take drugs until they got on the trip that they never came on, fell over dead before they were 25 years old. I've seen that. And you know what? I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that because that's a bad decision. That's a bad choice. And you know, God tells me that, but I know that by observation. I know that by experience because I've seen it. And sometimes we need to open our eyes and take a look around. We can learn a lot of things. We learn by observation. Best illustration gleaned from what has been seen. Many of the things that I have in my life are experiences I've had. There's experience that I've had in my life that's taught me many lessons that I still have with me today. I'll give you one example. Losing a brother at a very young age, I understand the brevity of life. Without any question, I understand that there's no guarantee of a home on this. And that lesson was imprinted in my mind when I was 20 years old, and I've never forgotten. 40 years later, I understand that life is limited. There's no guarantee how long you're going to live. People from all walks of life have wisdom if they are observant. But you know, not all wisdom is good. There's some wisdom you need to discard. There's some wisdom that you need to make sure that you don't do that. And one of the best things to do with what you observe is you compare it to the very best. And that's this wisdom. And when the wisdom of the world doesn't match up with this wisdom, you reject the wisdom of the world. That wisdom is safe. It follows if it doesn't have divine wisdom attached to it. You know, I tell people all the time that there's nothing that God has ever told his children to do that will hurt them. That's not in their best interest to do. What joy will I get in this life if I follow God? None. But you know, if I follow God's instructions,
I can do some bad things that could happen to me. I can miss some things.
God gives us the wisdom and he gives us the ability to be observant to the things going around us, that we can discern, that we can see, that we can make good decisions, but how we apply what we learn, that's from us. That comes from each and every one of us. So we need to understand the value of wisdom. We need to understand it and we need to look out for it. Solomon here presents an illustration of a city with two negatives. Number one, it's a small city, and there's few men to protect it. So that seems that they have insurmountable odds. That means that usually they're going to get defeated because they're small, and they have insufficient numbers, and they're not very strong, and so it's good ideal that they're going to be defeated. Well, you know what? I remember a time when the Israelites were greatly outnumbered. You know, when they first went into the promised land, that first generation died because they feared what they saw. You see, they forgot that God promised them that land. They forgot that God was going to be leading them. They forgot that God was going to be with them. And if you go back to Deuteronomy, what did he say? He said, as long as you follow me, as long as you're obedient to my commands and my ordinances, nobody will be able to hurt you. Isn't that what God told them? That's exactly what God told them. He said, remember, you'll be the head and they'll be the tail. But if you disobey me, if you go contrary to my will, if you go into error, then you're going to be the tail and they're going to be the head. And that's exactly what happened. You see, they didn't apply God's wisdom. God gave them the knowledge, gave them the wisdom, how they could prosper, how they could assure their future, and they did not apply it. They did not learn it. Same thing happens today. Same thing happens again. Cities, nations, what Watchman would say is an unbeatable foe. But a great king with a large army built embankments, he built mounds that are high, and wooden towers to go over the wall to take the city. It just seems that they're overmatched. But the four wise men in the city, by his wisdom, what does that mean? By his wisdom, delivered the city. By his knowledge and the application of the knowledge he had, he was able to defeat an insurmountable foe. Because he knew wisdom. You get that? What's his point? His point is, again, if you have knowledge, that's one thing. But if you don't have the wisdom how to apply it, that knowledge will not benefit you one iota. You can quote the book, you can quote the Bible from beginning to end. You can quote all the New Testament. But if you don't know how to live it, it will not help you. It will not help you. I know a lot of people who know the Bible, but they have no ability to know how to apply it in their life. Therefore, it is unprofitable. Biblical example in 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 22. Joab is attacking a city because they are hoarding a person that God has deemed for judgment. And he's going to attack and he's going to subdue the whole city. There was a wise woman that was in the city that was wondering, why are you attacking us? Why are you going to attack us and try to destroy us? Joab wanted one man, not the wealth of the city. He didn't want to plunder the city. He didn't want to destroy the city for plunder. He was after one person who had done something contrary to God and had hurt God's people, a man named Bathsheba. And he said, that's who I'm after. And then the woman went to the city and went to the elders of the city and said, why should we perish over one man? Let us deliver him. And they cut off his head and threw it over the wall. And Joab left the city. The woman had the wisdom to understand that it was better to deliver the evil person than the whole city. So, what's the point? The point is poverty has nothing to do with evil. Some of the wisest people I've ever met in my life are people who were very, very poor spirited. And yet they had great wisdom. There was a man who lived in my hometown when I was growing up. He was an older man. And he didn't have much of this world's good. Very friendly, very talkative, and if you sit and you listen. He really listened to what he told me. He gained a lot. He was a very godly man. He wasn't a Christian. Many people tried to talk to him about that, but he kind of had his mind made up. But in the wisdom of understanding how life works, and understanding the peaks and valleys of life, and understand difficult decisions that you can make that can hurt you, he just stopped and listened. His ignorance didn't keep him. His poor status didn't mean he didn't know anything. He still had wisdom. Wisdom is not guaranteed by wealth, nor is poverty a signal that a man doesn't have wisdom. That's not the way you judge it. Wise counsel. Wisdom is better than strength. The correct translation, along with verse 15, is that wise counsel was rejected. Poor man's word, they're despised and rejected. Why? Because they looked at the way they looked at it. You know what the Bible says? That a prophet is without honor in his own country. Remember John said that about me? You know what? I've had a couple of opportunities to go home. Preach where I grew up. Have no desire. You know why? I have a lot of family who is back there. But you know how they look at me? I'm different. I'm not a preacher. I don't have any wisdom. I'm just like them. I'm one of them. And I would not be affected in that way. I would not be affected because they have a different perception of me. Even if I'm in this capacity, they look at me as one of their own, and they don't look at me the same way. I understand. I'm not telling you I like it, but I understand. People today can gain wisdom from many people in their life. Wisdom unrewarded, another vanity among mankind. You know what? One of the things that the Bible talks a great deal about is how we can learn from others. You know, it always amazes me in the Lord's Spirit how people will always compare themselves with people. They do not compare themselves with people who are strong, committed, dedicated, striving to do the Lord, and you can learn a lot. You know, people like that, it's hard to do things like that. People who encourage you. People who, by their commitment to the Lord, by their dedication to God, by their love for things that are spiritual, and people who have done it for a long period of their life, people like that, we lose them in stuff. Because they help you. They encourage you. They motivate you to do the right thing. Too many times, ladies and gentlemen, we look in the wrong place to do it. The wisdom of God's word, it's always. The knowledge of divine wisdom is greater than any wisdom of man. But you know what? People who apply divine wisdom to their lives, they are an example and encouragement to God and the rest of us that we can gain much help. And yet, that goes untapped many times because we don't pay attention. Wisdom unrewarded is another kind of vanity. Why? If a person replies in a calm way, he gains wisdom. Rulers shout to be heard, but they don't say anything. Others imply confidence and assurance. Loud mouth shattering often comes from fools. And you know what? Consider the example of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. You read that text and understand that sometimes people who are quiet and calm in their demeanor, sometimes there's gems of wisdom that come from their life. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. The pen is mightier than the sword, he put that before. Wisdom is a powerful thing, but not as much as the influence of the sinner. Satan uses simple practices for man to further his work. You know, wisdom can be neutralized, and powerful weapons can be neutralized, but a sinner can undo whatever good can be accomplished. It can be undone by one sinner who's bent on destruction. Do you understand why God said in His Word that little leaven leavens the whole lump? Do you understand what sin, error, and evil that doesn't get checked, doesn't get controlled? Do you understand how if it gets out of hand, you destroy every good thing in your life? Let me ask you something. How important is your character? You work your whole life to build your character. Your integrity. Who you are. What you represent. What you try to portray to other people. How quick can an evil, sinful person cause you much harm and undo a lifetime of what you strive to do by his ungodly actions and his attitude? I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Where people have destroyed a person's character simply because they were evil or intent to do it. It can be done. One sinner can cause
make the proper application in your life, and it will cause you to make good decisions and to make good choices. You will be an example. You will be an encouragement to others who watch day by day, year by year. Watch your faith grow. Watch your faith not diminish. Even though life is racking its way against you, even though life is taking its toll on you, and yet your faith is not diminished. Brother, if that doesn't encourage you, then I think you need to take care of my life. Following said, that's the kind of wisdom you want. That's the kind of wisdom you can have a lasting effect. So, we need to keep things in conclusion. True wisdom can be found only in the hands of true men. Not, there are men, godly men, that have wisdom that's worth listening to and following. Life presents us with choices. Those choices can be helpful. They can be hurtful. We need to learn from Solomon's research, and we need to learn from Solomon's strategy. You know what the greatest strategy for life is? Many people benefit from this. Oh. Solomon made many, many foolish decisions in his life that were very opposite of things that he thought, things he wrote in his life. He made many mistakes of other things that he encouraged men to do that he did not make the proper application. Brother, I encourage you tonight. There are always godly people. There are godly people. There are people that you can learn from. You can be motivated by. You can be encouraged by. And we need to be encouraged. Then we need to look at ourselves and how we can look at our lives and how we can be better. Being encouraged, being committed and dedicated to God. Not just for our benefit, not just for the benefit of our family, not just for the benefit of Harrisburg, but for the benefit of the other men. Do you ever have too many of those companies? Why don't we commit ourselves to be more? To have wisdom that comes from God, to put that wisdom into practice in our lives by the choices that we decide to make. Yes, we're going to die. There's no win, it's inescapable. But again, it doesn't matter. As long as our lives are with God, as long as we have a proper perspective, as long as we find that balance, as long as God's faith is more important than anything else, with God's grace, with His love, with His wisdom, we'll cross the finish line. One day, we'll stand before the judge of the Father. We'll have to give an account. We'll be hearing the word. Well done. Good and faithful. Enter into the joy of our Lord. Prepare to be before the Father. You know, there's a lot of compliments in this reading the Bible about God. A lot of powerful things that God has said. That's one thing I want to hear someday. I want to hear that statement made when I stand before the Lord. I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. What about you? You want to hear the Lord utter those words about your life? If you do, you're going to have to demonstrate knowledge applied with godly wisdom.
And to put things in the proper perspective. If you're here, you're not a Christian. We don't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity. If you are and you've not made the proper decisions in your life, you need to rededicate and recommit yourself to God. And you need the prayers of the church on your behalf to strengthen you and help you. We're here to do that. If we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward. We stand as we sing.